This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The parable of the dishonest steward only appears in Luke's gospel. It is part of a pair, which in turn is part of a quartet. We have a parable about a lost sheep, and it is coupled with a parable about a lost coin. And then we have a parable about a father with difficult sons, and that is matched with a master with an unsatisfactory steward. Each of these parables involves a reversal of fortune. Something wrong is put right. The lost sheep is rescued. The lost coin is found. Sons, both the prodigal and the self-righteous, are held fast in the Father's love. But then we have this parable of the steward who receives his master's approval. Now, why a main figure of a parable is a dishonest person, becomes a role model, and receives his master's approval, it's extremely confusing. The steward at best is incompetent, and at worst, he's just a straight-out thief. And why does he remain silent when he is accused? Is his silence telling of his guilt or anger or even helplessness? Yet he is commended in the end for reducing his master's profits even further. It's a messy little story. Situations are compromised. Motives are mixed. Redemption comes unexpectedly. Redemption comes unexpectedly. All four parables stem from a single beginning. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." In other words, bad people seem to be getting the master's approval. The fourth parable, verging on moral chaos, addresses the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes head on. Someone once said that 90% of life is just showing up. The tax collectors and the sinners are showing up to hear Jesus. They desperately need his words of acceptance and forgiveness. As one author says, nobody likes someone who comes across as holier than thou, and people resist listening to those who seem to underestimate the difficulties and injustices of life. The sinners and the tax collectors are not showing up to listen to the Pharisees and the scribes. They're showing up to listen to Jesus. And what about you and me? Why do we show up at church week after week? Put simply, we also show up to hear Jesus. Because church is where wandering sheep like us go. It's where lost coins are, to which our ever-loving Divine Father drags us home. Church is where we find other human beings just like us. You know, very often when you ask someone who does not attend church why they don't, you'll hear them say something like, "Well, because the people there are just a bunch of hypocrites." Really? In the Greek, the word hypocrite means actor or stage player. Now, most people that I know do not jump out of bed on a Sunday morning or stop whatever they're doing on a Saturday afternoon and race to church because they can't wait to pretend to be something they're not. in my experience, they come because they know they have failed to follow through on their good intentions. They know all too clearly the gap between who they're called to be and who they actually are. They come to be with fellow disciples who are also fully aware of how much they have missed the mark. They gather to take comfort in each other, knowing that they're all working to be as faithful in the little things as they are in the big things. And they inspire each other to continue striving for that. We come to church because this is where we can most reliably expect our Lord to be found. In the opening of the word, in the breaking of the bread, and the communion of all believers. We come because we know that we are unjust stewards in one way or another. In the end, everyone benefits. The debtors have their burdens reduced. The master is recipient of a new respect and honor among his people. And the steward has formed new connections to see him through the harsh realities of the real world in which he soon will live. God defends us from a universe that would always reward us for our well-doing and condemn us when we cheat, because in that world, we will surely be damned. But in this one, God's irrational, chaotic, and sweet, sweet grace abounds.